Dave and Dejanovic.
No, when I'm not listening to our podcast here, that we podcast every day, I'm listening to other podcasts, and I came across this one from the University of Utah Health. It posted a couple of months ago about teenagers and marijuana use in Utah.
Lately, I'm seeing a lot of teens, some kids as young as 12, who are using marijuana on a daily basis.
That's Dr. Cindy Gellner, Dave, with the University of Utah Health, and I was shocked by that.
Number one, how in the world are these kids getting that amount of marijuana where you are able to use it every single day at 12?
Well, she also cited these, statistics that shows how young the kids are, like through the different, not only the age groups, but also like grade levels.
8% of 8th graders, 19% of 10th graders, and 22% of 12th graders reported vaping marijuana.
So they're vaping it.
Vaping has made things so much easier, right? Because the vaping, the gummies, all of this, so much easier to hide than your 1960s marijuana, right? Where your Woodstock weed had to be burned and there has a smell. It's very distinctive. Well, now if you're vaping it, maybe it smells like mangoes. Like no one would know. Like, oh, that's a unique air freshener.
We're going to talk with Heather Lewis. She's the substance prevention coordinator for the Utah County Health Department, and also with Gray Matters, which is it's an effort to get accurate, unbiased information about the effects of teen marijuana misuse out to the public. And Heather's on the line with us right now. And this is just that podcast was the catalyst for this discussion, but there's so much to know about this, Heather. How young are you seeing kids as young as 12, like what Dr. Gellner said on that podcast? I'm worried to ask if it's even younger.
Well, unfortunately, that is the truth. We know that sixth graders have reported use here in Utah. We know that we recommend that parents start to talk to their kids by the age of 9 about use, because they're going to hear about it somehow. And so if we want our kids to know what the information we want them to have, then we need to start talking to them and give that information to them by the age of 9.
That is such a shocking number. I had no idea, number one, that it was so common, that I should be having this kind of conversation, detailed conversation. How are kids using? Is it vaping? Is it gummies? Is it like the old joints that they're rolling up? I can't even wrap my head around this.
Well, it's D, all of the above. The thing that I'm seeing, or that we're hearing about the most, though, is definitely the vaping. The vaping use has increased so much. And one of the most scary things about that is that when we ask kids, what are you vaping most? Well, probably about 25% of the time, they say, I don't know. I don't know what's in my vape. And so there might be just nicotine, there might be just CBD, but there might be cannabis, there might be even other things in there. So it's really scary.
So in listening to that podcast, Heather, Dr. Gellner said something about temporary psychosis symptoms, which, you know, gives this feeling that you're in some sort of alternate reality. That's the best way that I could find to describe it. What are you seeing? Or what do you worry about with kids using this?
Well, we definitely worry about psychosis. You know, when a kid uses cannabis or marijuana, they're not used to it. Maybe they're getting something that they haven't tried before. And the THC levels, like the gentleman said, the levels these days are so much higher, and the contents that are out there are so much more potent that it's almost, I mean, some of these are all the way up to 90 to 100% THC. Where back in the day, back in the 60s, like you're saying, it was 3%, 5% THC. And so, you know, that in itself has really changed the landscape. But more than psychosis, the thing that we worry about with our kids is that, you know, with increased or even just regular use, we have studies are showing that it does have an an effect on the developing brain. And, you know, our kids' brains are developing until they're 25. So we've got some room to work with them, but we need them to know the truth. And we know that, especially with our teens, they don't want to be scared. They don't want to hear these, you know, scare tactics. They want to know the truth so that they can make their own informed decisions. And that's what Gray Matters is about. If you go to graymattersutah.org, you can find information that has research to back it up about the risks of cannabis use to a developing brain with our kids. And then it gives talking points for the parents, because really we know our parents are the number one reason why our kids are choosing not to use. We know that our parents are the influence, the parents that are talking to their kids and having these conversations and being open about it. You know, those are the kids that are making the right choices, because they're having these, you know, unafraid conversations, and we really just have to go there. You know, using cannabis, it affects your memory, it affects your concentration, it affects your, it develops a sense of apathy where you just don't care. You just kind of, whatever, I don't really care. Your coordination is reduced, problem solving, learning. Long term, you know, if a kid's thinking about going to, you know, play for a professional sports team, or they have this desire that they want to be this certain, you know, profession when they grow up, using continually really has an effect on their educational goals, their professional goals, and overall their success in life. And again, the anxiety, the depression, schizophrenia, addiction, I mean, all of those things are at increased risk every time a kid uses. And each time they use, the risk is increased. And so the more they're using, the higher their chances of developing these types of things.
One of the things I hear from proponents of cannabis use is they say, oh, it's safe, it's not addictive. Can you address some of those justifications?
It isn't safe. For adults whose brains are already developed, maybe it's safer, but you don't know all the things. We all know. We don't know all the chemicals that are going into those vape cartridges or the cannabis itself. Like if you're smoking, that's as harmful as smoking cigarettes with all those toxins and whatnot that are going into the body. But, you know, bigger than that, it's just, you know, overall, we don't know what's in it. We don't know what they're getting. And so, you know, you hear stories about what's coming through on our freeways and our, you know, our Utah is kind of a central point, a crossroads for different drugs going through different states. And, you know, a lot of arrests are happening where they're catching big seizures of marijuana and fentanyl and meth and all of these different things. And that's the scary thing. We just don't know what people who, we don't know where the kids are getting this stuff. First of all, we don't know where it's really, truly coming from, who's making it, and what's really going into it. And so that's a risk there. It's just scary.
Heather, I would agree with you on that. I think, you know, and kids aren't asking the question, hey, where did you get this from? You know, they're just using whatever their friend is using. And just real quickly, is there any sign in listening to that podcast I was listening to, the doctor of the University of Utah Health said, sometimes kids will vomit, especially if they're getting these high levels, they'll vomit. And so if your child is vomiting, you need to probably get them to the doctor, certainly. But also the doctors need to be asking, are you using marijuana? Are there other signs that parents should be watching for, Heather?
Well, you can buy a drug test at Walgreens. You can buy a marijuana drug test at Walgreens. If you're worried, get a drug screen and just find out. But really, you know, the vomiting thing, it's not something that I am more or most familiar with, but, you know, signs that you should be looking for. Your kid is more withdrawn. Your kid is hanging around with kids that they don't usually hang around with. Like you said before, the smells, there might be different smells. They might be wearing different clothing that has paraphernalia, you know, referring to cannabis or marijuana. Just different friends, the red eyes, you know, the withdrawn attitude is mostly what I would look at with kids. You know, if your kid's withdrawing from you, they are teens, but again, you know, you just don't know. And so have those conversations and ask them, what do you know about it? Are you involved in it? And really, the biggest point that I want to get across is that if a kid thinks that they're going to get in trouble, if they've already crossed the line, like, okay, I know I wasn't supposed to do this, I did it, now what? We need to be going to them with open minds and open hearts, because if they feel like they're going to get in trouble, they're not going to talk to us openly. And so, you know, having that fresh eyes and fresh ears and fresh attitude to really find out where your kid's at and how you can help them best is what we want to encourage.
Heather Lewis, thank you for joining us from Utah County Health Department.
And also Gray Matters. You can get more information at graymatters.com. We're going to post more information on this as well at kslnewsradio.com. So you can look for, if you just caught the tail end of that discussion about teen use of marijuana, you can catch that at kslnewsradio.com.
12 years old, Deb.
Yeah.
That was a shocking number. Did they have kids that are using daily at 12 years old, and recommending that you start talking to your kids specifically about marijuana use, cannabis use at 9.
Yeah. Don't let your kids get bossed around by their friends when it comes to that. That's my takeaway. Is their friends will have a ton of influence on them, and parents, we need to have more influence on our kids than their friends have. Straight ahead, we've got word that the feds are in no hurry to lower the interest rates, which was, this is a double-edged sword. So we're going to look at the positive side of the sword. I think this could be good news when it comes to your savings account. So let's talk about that next.